We all know that women are not funny. And no one proves it better than Kay Ballard, the accidental lawyer who is the accidental host of our show. Of course, every accident that Kay Ballard encounters is intentional. And now her intention is to accidentally disprove the show's premise. So sit back and enjoy a fun conversation that matters between Kay and today's fabulous featured guest. Welcome to Women Are Not Funny Radio.
Hello, this is Kay Ballard, and I'd like to welcome you to a special edition of Women Are Not Funny Radio. Now, what do I mean by special edition? Well, as you know, I had announced that Women Are Not Funny Radio would be in hiatus during the entire month of December. You know, I love the sound of that, the sound of being in hiatus. It just sounds so show busy. Plus, it's December, and we're coming up on our third season, and we have a lot of big changes planned. So given that, we need the time to plan. But then something amazing happened. I learned that today's guest, Shannon Glass, was available today, and that changed everything. She's been on the show before, and quite simply, she's one of my very favorite featured guests. So the prospect of spending an hour with her was just a little gift I decided to give to myself, an early Christmas gift, if you will. So, yes, our guest for today is Shannon Glass. Now, as you know, I've been admonished by people who know radio to tell you at the very top of the show what you're going to learn from the show. And guess what? I can almost assure you that today you will not learn a thing. But here are some of the things that we're going to be talking about. You know, Shannon is a veteran blogger. I could call her that, or maybe a vintage blogger. And I want to find out if she's made any peace with the conventional mainstream blog community. And somewhat related, we're going to talk about swag for bloggers and whether or not Shannon and Kay have any clout. And then I'm going to try to bring her on as an unpaid consultant to my show to give me some advice as I'm coming up on the third season about some of the changes that I'm thinking about doing. So, you know, I look forward to that. That will help me. Here's the deal. I don't have to bring Shannon on with those normal questions that I ask all my featured guests because I already know the answers. She's not going to use her appearance on Women Are Not Funny as a stepping stone for anything. She's just too lazy. She's not going to work to take over my show. She has proven, she's told me and she's proven, she just doesn't like to work that hard. So I have nothing to fear from Shannon, except maybe the fact that she shows up way ahead of me on that very well-known and highly esteemed by some leaderboard, CurseBird. Shannon, I've been checking out your CurseBird score, and you're kind of falling behind my friend Paula Kelly.
Really? Well, yeah. I guess I better step up and drop a few F-bombs, but you know why? I've been really lazy, and I've barely been on Twitter lately, so, you know, I can't let people go in front of me.
Yeah, no. You think that's the reason, just the, you know, the fact that you haven't been doing very many tweets at all?
Yeah, I think that has to be the reason, because there's no other explanation for it. I sure have not cleaned up my act.
Well, of course, as you know, Women Are Not Funny Radio is mother-friendly. So we're on good behavior here. And when I say we, I mean you, too. But listeners may not know about CurseBird. I mean, how would you describe it, Shannon?
CurseBird? Well, you know, it bleep takes all the bleep out of the bleep when you tweet.
They count. It's an accounting of curse words in your tweets. It's essentially what it is. And you go to CurseBird.com and you put in your username, and they give you a little nickname based on how much cursing you've done. And for me, they said I swear like a Jersey girl.
A Jersey girl?
Yeah.
I think they swear a lot. I thought Jersey girls were like big hair, blue eyeshadow, and a lot of swearing.
Well,
kind of slutty.
You know, here's the deal. I think in the course of my entire time on Twitter, some 31,000 tweets, 16 of them had curse words in them, and I am ashamed to say that most of those were retweets. You know, I apparently I can't come up with a curse word on my own. Although I just moments ago I did use hell, so that might, if that counts, it might help. So I came in something like 1,133,000th with my 16 cursing tweets.
Wow!
You swear like a sailor.
Awesome. Well, that's where I learned it.
Yeah,
down
really?
At the dock.
Down at the dock. You came in 239,000 with 106 tweets. But, you know, I can't – I know this won't bother you at all because, actually, you're not very competitive, being rather lazy.
Yeah.
Our good friend Paula Kelly came in 11,000th with 851 cursing tweets.
Wow.
That's kind of a amazing feat, I think.
I can't, you know what? I'm going to have to pick up the pace because my goal is going to be the top 10. I'm just going to start every tweet with the F-bomb, whether it needs it or not.
Well, and
I'm
then possibly
hashtag everything with
You know what? What you might do is just start retweeting Paula. Because apparently, you know, I read her tweets. I had no idea that she was that much of an achiever. You know.
Wow. Well, I don't want to retweet Paula. I don't like to retweet other people. I like for them to retweet me because that makes me feel important.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I like to build up my score on CurseBird by retweeting people who curse. So, you know, maybe we're a really good pair. But, you know, there's so many things, Shannon, that I really need to talk with you about. I mean, one thing that I like about you is that you are inappropriate.
That's a phrase I don't hear very often.
Really? Well, there are actually, Shannon, there are like three things I like about you.
Wow,
you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. But there are plenty I don't like. You know, one thing is this. You know, this show has standards, and I love to have as my featured guest best-selling authors. You know, people who are a really big deal. You know, people who are musicians, or I haven't had an Olympic athlete, but if any day now I will. And I like really, really high achieving people as my guests, you know, and there's a reason for that. You know, it helps listenership, and it also kind of makes me look good, and that's the crowd I hang out with generally. But you, you really haven't done a damn thing.
Yeah,
know?
No. Well, for one, I don't want you to bask in my reflected glory because, you know, get your own glory. But two, you know, we've already discussed lazy, and you kind of have to be not lazy. Have to have some sort of, you know, ambition thing or whatever. And, I don't have any of that when it comes to writing or publishing or, you know, being a champion athlete. But, you know, we did discuss John Cleese follows me. So, you know, that makes me famouser than you.
Yeah. You know what? We did discuss that. And to refresh the memory of our listeners, Shannon announced that the last time she was on the show. And as I recall, I asked you so politely and so sweetly to introduce the two of us, and I reminded you that that would be to John Cleese's benefit. I'm sure he would like to meet me.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he would, but I don't do introductions.
Shannon.
Sorry.
Do you know,
you know
I mean, There's actually a leaderboard for that. There's a new service called Hashtagable. And it is a special place where you can introduce people, and then you get points for having introduced people. So why don't you just mosey over to Hashtagable and introduce John Cleese to Kay Ballard? I think that is called for.
Huh. Well, I'll think about it. I'll go check out the site. How about that?
Well, please
do. That's as far as I'm willing to go.
Well, all right. I have a little bit of a incentive, if you will.
Okay.
If you will introduce me to John Cleese, and here we're talking about at John Cleese, right?
Yeah.
Not John Cleese, but at John Cleese.
But at John Cleese, yeah.
If you will introduce me to at John Cleese, I will introduce you to at Nancy Sinatra.
Hey. I sing her in karaoke.
See there? You love it, don't you?
I do. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, consider it a done deal. And Aunt Nancy Sinatra really likes to engage with people. The other night, she just sent out a plea. She wanted to know what song she should select for her upcoming Christmas special that is in honor of her father. And so I had a very lame idea, and she tweeted me back with kind of a thank you, that was a lame idea sort of tweet. You know, but I mean, it was very gracious, don't you think?
Well, she seems like she would be a gracious lady.
She is very gracious, and she loves Twitter. And I think she would, you know, I'll make sure that she follows you back. I can just promise you she'll follow you back. But there's one thing that might stand in the way. Oh, listeners, Shannon tweets under the name AKA Monty. And the reason she does this is because she's nuts. You know, she's absolutely nuts. There's absolutely no reason for her to tweet under that name. But, her avatar, her current avatar, is a cartoon avatar, and it's quite inappropriate. Shannon, would you like to tell the listeners why I think your avatar is inappropriate?
Because you have something against cartoons?
Yes, again.
I like it. It's reflective of how I was feeling the day I put it up. Hey,
Shannon,
you know what?
Shannon, tell our listeners why I think your avatar is inappropriate.
Because I happen to be shooting the bird to everyone because, you know, that's what I do.
Shannon, that
I'm
is not the
it
reason.
I'm doing it right now.
Shannon, I'm sure you are, but that's not the reason I think your avatar is inappropriate.
Why?
Your cartoon has messy hair. She has, she has messy hair. That's the reason. I think your avatar is inappropriate because your cartoon avatar has messy hair.
Okay, well, that's fair enough because I actually do have messy hair. I have not brushed my hair today.
Well, that's, you know, that's good to know. I did say that I want some advice about this show. I mean, here's some random advice. There is someone that I have identified that I would really like to have as a guest next season. She has a book, you know, unlike you. She's not lazy. She wrote her book. She got it published. And she kind of interests me, and she has a radio show, and I've listened to it, and she's really good on the radio. And I said, oh, she would make a great guest. But the thing is, she has very strange hair. I mean, just extremely strange hair, to me, anyway, very strange. And here's what I want to know. Should I mention that? I mean, if she comes on the show, should we just talk about the book and not talk about the hair, or should I, you know, when people have really strange hair, do you think they want to talk about it? This is not accidental. This hair is not accidental. It couldn't possibly be accidental.
Well, you know what? If it's not accidental, then by all means, I think you should discuss it.
Really? And what should I say? I mean, do you think, because I think, this is my belief, I think she thinks it's pretty.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
it's not a mohawk. It's not blue
hair,
but it is strange. I cannot say more at the moment, except it's just strange.
Is it Pakistan?
I don't know what to do.
I would just go with, hey, what's up with your hair? Because, you know, that's my style.
Mm-hmm.
For you're much, nicer, tactful, more tactful than I am. So maybe you say, your hair is an interesting look. How do you achieve it? And there you go.
Well, see, darling, I am more tactful than you, but that's really not saying much, is it?
Well, no.
No. But I could say to her, I would call her darling. I would say, darling, yeah, I kind of like that, Shannon. What's up with the hair? Darling, what's up with the hair?
Yeah.
What if she doesn't know her hair is strange?
Well, then it's your duty to point it out.
Yeah, I kind of think so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't just let people go around like that.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing.
It is. It's really embarrassing. It is.
Yeah.
And she gets on YouTube with it, which, is, you know, that's just totally uncalled for.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. It's horrible. So you were saying you have no ambition. You know, this very week, two different people in blogs, one person said that success is sexy, and then another person said that ambition is sexy. So what's your read on that? Do you think either one is sexy?
Well, here's what I think. I think social media puts sexy on everything. Change is sexy. Content is sexy. Consistency is sexy, and I can't even tell you. I'm like, why does everything have to be sexy? Can't you people just be normal?
Yeah, but you know what? We like that word.
Apparently. Well, I'm not getting any. So, you know, it's like, I don't care what's sexy right now. I'm frumpy, and I'm going to go with frumpy instead of sexy.
Well, how about frumpy is sexy?
What
do you think about
that?
Yeah, you're right, it's not. Well, there was a newish article in the New York Times. And by that, I think it was November 30th, something like that. And it was about the hypothesis was that if you are a successful woman, you cannot get a man or keep a man. And so they were really kind of making the case for success not being sexy, you know, and ambition not being. Now, they didn't go so far as to say frumpy was sexy, but they just pointed out that it continues to be a problem for women who are high achievers to attract or keep a man. And, you know, I have to say that has pretty much been my experience. And this very morning, Cher Bailey, do you know Cher?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'll throw her in on the John Cleese deal. You know,
okay.
I mean, Nancy Sinatra and Cher Bailey, because she's great. And she's on her way to Las Vegas. She's packing for Las Vegas, and she said she was going to do a little husband hunting there because Cher's thing is divorce. She loves getting divorced. And it's really almost impossible to get a divorce without first getting married. Right. And so she's currently divorced. And so she's looking for another husband so she can have another divorce. And I asked her if she would, while she was at it, just find me a husband, too. And she said, of course, there would be plenty of men there and she would find me one. I said, please do not tell them I'm a lawyer. You know, that just the men are not looking for a lawyer as a wife. They're not.
Good.
Or a girlfriend. They're just not. So I think if I could go undercover and if Cher helps me out, you know, who knows?
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I think it is hard for, well, I think it's hard for overachieving women to not only find and keep a man, but find and keep friends, because sometimes they're really annoying. Not you. Present company accepted, of course. But, you know, a lot of these overachievers just, you know, get on your nerves. So it's no surprise that they can't keep a man, because they can't keep a woman either.
Well, I think you just described me. You know, and the fact of the matter is, you can pretend to be my friend, but you're not. You hate everyone, and that is something. That is one of the other things that I really, really like about you, is you hate everyone.
An equal opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I really do, and clearly you hate me because, you know, once again, when I asked you the last time you were on the show to introduce me to John Cleese, I just asked you in the nicest possible way, and I got nowhere with that.
Well,
and so,
I'm selfish.
I know that. You know, I know that about you, and it's in its own way is kind of charming, you know. So,
well, I'm glad you think so. Could you, like, write that down and, you know, tell other people that it's charming? Because
no, I don't feel that strongly about it. You know, I think it's somewhat charming, but you know, as I said at the top of the show, I'm really looking at ways that I might change the show to make it better, because here's the deal, Shannon. I mean, I'm just going to lay it out for you. This show is somewhat popular. I mean, people listen to it, they like it, they tell me so, but they don't come back in droves. You know, it is not must-see TV. People, we're working at building our audience, and it just isn't happening the way we would like it to. You know, I mean, we have millions of listeners, obviously, but we really need more like 10 million listeners, right?
Right.
And so we're just trying to find ways that will make the show not better, but more appreciated, let's say. And so we have a lot of ideas, and, you know, one I was thinking of this morning is maybe if we went a little heavy on the sound effects. What would you think about that? Like a laugh?
I love sound effects, especially applause, and I think you should play it every time I say something good, which may not be that often, but, you know, I mean, everything I can say. Excellent. There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
I love the sound of applause. Excellent. Yeah. It's like having your own entourage of studio audience following you around.
Yeah, I... I love it when they laugh.
Yes, me too. I love it.
You know what? There's really only one thing I like more, and that's when they cheer.
Yes, the cheering is definitely good, I think. It's motivational.
Well, it is kind of motivational. You know, the thing that bothers me is, I have had these sound effects on my dashboard for the whole time I've been doing the show, and I just have failed to use them. You know, it is just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yes, it is ridiculous. You should use them.
It's kind of
embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed if I were you. I mean,
yeah.
I'm all about the sound effects. I like the wah-wah-wah-wah, you know?
Yeah.
Sad trombone, and I like that, which I, you know, you could
do you
use
like
after,
that?
Yeah. Oh, now that's nice. I like that.
That was a bullet.
Yeah, I'm number one with a bullet, baby. So.
Well, I think, you know, I think sound effects might really be the future of this show.
I think you should definitely jump on that bandwagon.
Well, here's kind of what I have been thinking, and I'm seriously wanting your opinion about this. My guests are eclectic. I mean, they really are. Some of them are best-selling authors, and some of them are people like you who've never even read a book, who are too lazy to even pick up a book or carry a book, who would trip over a book if it were on the floor, you know.
I use those for doorstops, yeah.
Exactly. But maybe I'm kind of thinking about focusing on people who are actually trying to have a career in comedy. So I thought about having women who are trying to break into comedy, as opposed to women like you who are just merely funny. You know, women who are actually trying to be comedians. And then I also thought about, well, I could also have men on the show. And I could have men who are in the business of comedy, and they could come on the show and talk about how funny they are and how women are not funny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that?
Well, I think that theoretically it's a great idea. But see, then you get the poor person on there, one of those women who thinks that she's funny, but she's really – I have a friend like this who shall remain nameless. Her name rhymes with Sleesa, and she thinks she's funny. And we tell her over and over again, you're not funny, and she doesn't listen. She continues to try to be funny. It really is embarrassing. You can't take her anywhere.
Is she trying to have a career in comedy?
Well, no, she doesn't want to, but, you know, she thinks she's funny. And where I was going with that was, you know, you get these women who are trying to have a career in comedy because their friends or family may have said, oh, you're so funny, but really they're not. You know, like the American Idol contestants who try out because, you know, karaoke at the bar, all the drunken folks say, yeah, you go, you sound like Shania. And they really don't. They're really terrible. You know, those people that are suffering under false illusions. And so you get them on the show, and they're really not funny, and then you have to point out, you know, I thought you said you were trying to make a career in comedy, and really, how do you intend to do that, because you're really not funny at all.
Yeah.
So.
Well, see, it's so interesting that you said that, because what you are saying is exactly what's holding me back on that. My experience has been when I have interviewed people who are actually in the comedy biz, they're not funny. They are funny on stage. They are great comedy writers, but they have a real hard time. I, you know, they're exceptions, but they have a real hard time being funny, just naturally funny. And
yeah,
it's very,
you know what?
Very strange.
I find that comedians fall into two categories for me. They're the people that, like Howie Mandel, he was the first one I ever saw that was really funny and funny on his feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Ad-lib funny. And then you have the ones who have to memorize everything because they can't function very effectively because it doesn't come easily to them. They have to sit and write and sit and write, which, you know, hey, that's okay too. I'm not saying there's anything wrong
with
that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a very different thing. And they
right.
are, you know, stand-up comics who do well at it, it's not terribly spontaneous. They have tested the material. They have the timing down. That's why they're so good. They have
right.
the timing down pat. And so they work that way, and they are not accustomed to being funny on call. It's just
right.
really weird. But maybe what I could do, though, is I could do that, and now that there's a laugh track, I could trick people into thinking that the unfunny is funny.
Ooh, that's sneaky. I like it. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, it would work really. It would work really great. Okay, so what's your favorite lip gloss color?
My favorite lip. I don't wear lip gloss.
Mm-hmm.
I
you know
very
what?
Rarely.
I don't either, and I'm just struck by this because the other night I was listening to internet radio, and there were two beauty experts, and they said, Shannon, they said the color to buy is MAC Viva Glam 5. I got up from my chair, ran across the room, got a pen, and wrote down MAC Viva Glam 5. Do you think that's sick?
That's a little bit weird. If you wore lip gloss, I would find that perfectly reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm too old for lip gloss. I'm, 39.12 or something. Mm-hmm. And
You recall, I told you to call yourself 30-something.
Yes.
Okay.
30-something a lot.
30 plus. Okay. So, but here's the deal. I'm someone who doesn't wear lip gloss but feels guilty for not wearing lip gloss.
I was going to say, my tagline on my business cards says, mm-hmm. I am a matte lipstick in a world full of glosses. And that's what it says.
That is charming. That is charming. And, one of the things that is another thing that I just adore about you is how good you are at coming up with names and titles and taglines, and that's just perfect. And, the whole blog world, I think, is extremely clever. I mean, I'm constantly shocked at what cleverness people come up with, no one more so than you. But I ran into some blog titles that I wanted to run past you. I just thought they were great. I saw one this week called Barbie Wishes She Were Me.
Wow.
I love that.
I kind of like that, too. I was just like, I was trying to think of something mean to say about it, but I can't. I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's really perfect, I mean, talk about in your face. Now, here's
one
that...
I would probably sneer at the person behind it, though, because that's, how I roll.
Yeah, you would, but she would sneer back because, darling, your cartoon avatar has messy hair.
True.
It just does. So here's another one that I thought was terrific. So fly in my 30s.
Does anybody say fly anymore? Is that a thing?
I don't care if they do or not. I read that blog title and I thought, if I called my blog So Fly in My 30s, I mean, that is the perfect way to kind of lie about your age without really lying. Right? Because it implies that you are in your 30s, but it doesn't say you are, right? It just says you're so fly in your 30s. I mean,
I thought
it's brilliant. It's just so brilliant.
Yeah. I was fly in my 30s.
Yeah. Well, I'm so fly in my 30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's the last track?
Pardon me? Let's find the laugh track. I think that's called for it. Just a second. I'll say it again even. Okay. Well, I'm so fly in my 30s.
That was my reaction.
You know what? That hurts my feelings.
I thought
that was a good idea, but that really hurts my feelings. Now, I mentioned...
I was going to make a lawyer joke right there regarding feelings, but see, notice I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You just did.
I didn't make
that,
it for
that
real.
That was a very sneaky way to make a lawyer joke. Fine. So now I no longer feel bad at all about throwing up Paula to you again. Paula Kelly has a new blog as part of her website called Is Life Stupid? Which I thought that was a settled issue, didn't you?
I have always assumed it was.
Well, surely it is. Why is she still asking that question? I don't understand. I really do not understand. Okay.
I don't either. Maybe it's not so much that life is stupid, it's just the people in it.
See, you always get back at that.
You always
get back to the whole thing about, Shannon, honestly, what do you have against people?
they get on my nerves and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I have low tolerance, I guess. I don't remember if I told you before or not, but, you know, I worked with the public for a really long time. I mean, I was in waitressing from the time I was 13 till I was 18. I waitressed later on in life. I was a hotel manager for a lot of years. Even before I was a hotel manager, I started in hotel reservations, and I worked at Hertz Car, the worldwide reservation center where we were on the phone all the time to people making reservations. And here's what I came away with. People are stupid. They don't listen. They're rude. They don't care, you know, enough to pay attention, and they blame you for all their mistakes.
Do you think it's just the traveling public who are that way? Because you were obviously in the travel and hospitality industry. Do you think it's just the traveling public?
No, because as a waitress, you know, I kind of observe the same things. And people are picky as hell, and I don't like that. Mm-hmm. If you want to eat, you know, a deconstructed salad with the lettuce in the middle of the plate, but it can only be the tops of the lettuce, and you want everything else on the side, and it has to be counterclockwise in order of color from white to red to yellow to purple or whatever, and then, you know, there's something wrong with you. If that's what you want to do with your food, then go home and make your own.
Oh, my goodness.
I bet you had to
have an armored truck to carry your tips away every night, you know? I bet you had to have security for all the tips to get your tips safely to the bank. You know, I'm
surprisingly,
sure
you know what's funny about that is I always had the most tips almost every single day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
because
just,
I know it's hard to believe, but mm-hmm. it's true.
Mm-hmm. It's just proof, I suppose, that they're. Is no rhyme nor reason to anything, you know.
Well, people sometimes like a little sass with their lunch.
But apparently they don't get sass and deconstructed salad. They just get...
No, because I will look at them like they're stupid and go, what?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Well,
and they
here's
would laugh.
A question for you. When you were a waitress, did you ever do this?
Oh, yes, my first day on a job, in fact, I broke 3 plates.
My goodness.
Shannon, yeah.
I think that was uncalled for.
Yeah.
I think that was totally uncalled for. Well, you know, obviously I've spent a good bit of time this past week reading blogs, and there was one written by a woman named Judy Dunn, who I do not know, who talked about engaging your blog readers with humor. She called it emotional buy-in. And she came up with 5 precepts of humor. And I thought we could take a look at them, just go through them, see if they work, you know, see what
okay.
we could come up with. And she has 5, and they're kind of interesting things I don't normally associate with humor. But she said it would be a good deal that your readers, and in this case, we hope listeners, would enjoy it if you reveal a flaw, if you tell a weakness. Of course, you've already told about 10 weaknesses, but why don't you reveal a weakness and let's just see if it's funny.
Oh, my gosh. See, I have so many to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that does work on your blog. I'm always talking about my flaws, and because, again, I embrace them. I treat them as friends. I take them out of the closet, and I shake the wrinkles out, and I put on my enabler coat or my lazy coat or, you know, but a selfish. I'm selfish. See there, you just got 3 flaws for one.
Mm-hmm. Lazy, selfish, and what?
I'm an enabler.
Yeah, enabler. Yeah, but see, is it funny? Yes, maybe people love you because you're so lousy, but, you know.
They feel sorry for me.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, for me, when I thought about revealing a flaw, you know, I don't have many, Shannon, to be perfectly honest. Maybe being a bit too modest is one of them, but
yeah,
I cry very easily, and I cry when I'm angry.
Oh,
and,
me too.
You know, I consider that a terrible flaw, but is it funny? I don't think it's funny. I cry. What's funny about that? That's not funny.
Well, it's funny if I can make you cry. Now, that's kind of funny.
Well, I suppose, but, you know, funny to you.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that.
You know, I don't know. I just don't know that revealing a flaw is funny, unless your flaws are funny. You know, do you think crying easily is a funny flaw?
Well, you know, if you can tell a funny story that where you cried inappropriately, then, you know, that
well,
would
know,
be funny.
Ironically, her second comedy precept is to tell a funny story, or a personal
really?
Story. She says tell a personal story. Do you have a personal story you want to tell?
I have a lot of personal stories I could tell. And one of the it's funny now. When I was married, we got caught in a flash flood, and I was with my ex-husband, and we got caught in a flash flood right in the middle. And you know, you see those people getting helicoptered out. Well, one of those was us one time.
Wow.
This was like in 92 or 3 or something. We were actually on national news. Connie Chung was doing the story. And I had my bag from work. This is when I worked at Hertz, actually. I was teaching a class there. And to helicopter me out, they gave me 2 loops for my legs to go through. And then I just had to hold on to the rope. Well, of course, I was wet and freezing and had this bag I was trying to hold on to. So my hands slipped, I let go. I was hanging by my knees from this rope, swinging.
Shannon, you know what's funny about that story? Shannon? I think Shannon dropped off. Shannon! My goodness. Shannon dropped off. I bet the battery on her phone went out. That was at a very dramatic moment, too, because we wanted to hear the rest of the story. What I was going to tell Shannon is the thing that was funny about that story was nothing. That was not a funny story. That is a very scary story. I can't imagine such a thing. And I'm just so sad that she has gone away. We're not going to worry about her. We're going to sally forth. She may try calling in again. I know she was on a mobile phone, and I know she said the reason she was on this particular phone is because the battery was low on her other phone, but it may be that she ran out of juice. Well, I was going to tell my personal story, and I also have some questions about whether or not it's funny. It is funny to me. It's a story about my childhood, because when I was a child, and it wasn't that long ago, quite frankly. It was just a few years ago, or maybe 20 minutes ago, or something like that. But in my family, we would take Sunday drives, and my parents were hobbyists at real estate investing. So they were always looking for properties to buy, and that was part of what we would do on these Sunday drives. And we would talk and sing and try to have fun. We, as children, didn't particularly love it, but we did like the opportunity to spend some time with my parents, and particularly my father, in the car. And so my dad had the habit of always telling me things that he wanted me to know, but he would tell me years ahead of me needing to know them or being even able to understand what he was talking about. So I was a very young girl when he gave me this advice. And whatever you do, he said, whatever you do, do not marry a short man. Marry tall men, because if you marry a short man, you will have little squatty children. And what is hilarious to me, I just thought it was weird at the time. That's why I remembered it. But apparently I listened to it, because I can tell you that my entire life, men I have dated have been tall. It's been very, very weird. And I'm not, you know, I'm not tall at all. I am not, I'm just average, okay? I'm 5'4". But I have always dated really tall men. And my ex-husband was 6'2". And I can tell you, out of all the men that I dated, there probably have been like three that were under 6 feet. So it's really weird. I wonder if he, you know, if he's the reason that Sunday afternoon drive is the reason. So that's my story. This Judy Dunn in her book went on with three more ideas. Use metaphors, exaggerate, and tell a secret. So I had anticipated having great fun. There she is. Shannon.
I'm back. I'm sorry. Hi.
You know what? You left at the most dramatic time of your story. You cannot tell me that wasn't on purpose, my darling. That was very obvious. I mean, I can't imagine such a thing. You were dangling from your knees, cold and wet, on a line being helicoptered out. How did that thing end? Obviously, you did survive.
Yes, I survived. And I'm sorry, my phone dropped the call. It was a big deal. You know, they used to have a show called Rescue 911 with William
right.
Shatner as the host. Well, we didn't get on that one. We got on one called Code Red or something, which was kind of a ripoff of that show, with some other guy I can't remember hosting. And anyway, we were on that, and they did an interview. We got to take a helicopter ride with the news guy who rescued us. And so that was kind of fun.
and Connie Chung talked about you or showed you on the news, right?
Yes, she brought, I mean, I didn't talk to her personally because, well, frankly, after the whole Oklahoma City bombing thing, which came years later, she's not really welcome in Oklahoma, but she, that's a whole other story. Anyway, she we were on the national news, and she, I don't know if she still hosts that, but she was at the time, and we were on there, and they showed pictures of it. It ruined my favorite pair of jeans, which really was the whole pisser of this, which really was the one of the downsides for me. And they cut up my Stillwater Eskimo Joe shirt. I was mad
Shannon.
About that. It was brand new.
Shannon, darling,
yes.
That is a very dramatic story. And your decision to leave right at the moment where you're talking about, you know, letting go of the rope and hanging by your knees, that was drama, and I really appreciate that. I mean, the ratings for this show will go way up. But it's really not funny. I mean, I will tell you what is funny. Yeah, that you lost your jeans. You know, that the worst thing that happened, that's kind of funny. But I just think this woman's theory may be wrong. I mean, let's try her next one. Use metaphors.
Okay.
Do you have a metaphor?
A metaphor?
Yeah. Just compare something to something. And we'll see if
you
it's funny.
Know, I'm, I don't use metaphors. I prefer euphemisms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't use metaphors. I don't even know what that is. I mean, I do, but it's like, I can't think of one on the spot unless.
Well, let me help you out.
Okay.
It's just comparing something to something, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I thought about this a little bit, and I thought, well, you know, the way to be funny with a metaphor is you would just compare. You could just compare things that are random, sort of. Or you could take something like love, which we all know something about love, even though we know nothing about love, and then you could just compare love to anything. You know, you could say, well, love is like cement. Or that's actually a simile.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
That, see, yeah. Of course, if you use like, it's actually a simile. So, you know.
Oh, true.
You have to make it a metaphor, you have to compare things in a little different way rhetorically. It's all kind of complicated. You know, it really sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it?
It does. That's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, similes could be funny. You could have, you know, they're easier and they could be funny. You could say, it, once again, you, going with something like love, you know, you can just come up with any random thing. You could say, love is like a can opener, right? And then you make a case for it, you know? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know that I can make one for that.
Well, that would be an allegory then, wouldn't it, if you had to make the case for it? Because an allegory is like an extended metaphor, kind of, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think this is something that we'll just have to explore some other time. I mean, her next comedy precept, I think we could do something with, is exaggerate. I just think we're capable somehow. I don't know. I just think we are.
Well, you know, I think that's the mark of a good story, is you take something that's, I mean, of course, I got in trouble. That's how I learned that my sister was reading my blog, because I was telling some stuff about the family. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I do sometimes. And I took a literary license with it, with the stories, with the events that I was talking about at the time, and exaggerated. And, boy, I got a scathing series of emails, comments, and my sister did not talk to me for, like, a month, which... If she only knew, that does not hurt my feelings, because, frankly, I don't like to talk to people anyway. But I'm all for exaggeration.
Yeah, see, that's a great story, but here, look what you could do with it. You could say, my sister didn't talk to me for 6 years. Right?
Well, yes, that would be an even better exaggeration, because in reality it was like, you know, a week. So I already exaggerated a little, but make it big. Go big or go home.
Yeah, say my sister didn't, say I got 300 emails and my sister didn't talk to me for 6 years. See, I mean, then you really have something. But is it funny?
No, it's true, but it's not funny. It's pathetic, actually, sort of.
Yeah, I know. I have a real problem with exaggeration, because my real life is so extreme. You know, to make it more so is difficult. I was thinking about, I haven't slept for 10 days. I've gone 10 days without sleep, you know, and then I thought that was kind of an exaggeration, and then I realized, no, actually, it's really accurate. You know, and I don't know.
Well, can I suggest that you lay off the methamphetamines then? Because
I think that's good advice. I've been thinking about going back to heroin, you know?
You know, I think so. I think you should probably do that. Or even a little cocaine to come down easy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Well, here is her number 5 comedy precept. And it is, tell a secret.
Well,
would
that's
you dare?
Kind of what...
Would you dare?
Well, I don't know if I have any that I haven't already let out. I've told all my secrets.
Mm-hmm. There isn't anything about you that nobody knows?
There are a couple of things, but those I have to, on the advice of my attorney,
mm-hmm.
I cannot legally talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're getting tired of moving me, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason for all the names, right?
Right, yes. It is. It creates quite a back trail.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my secret. Do you want to hear a secret from me?
I would love to hear a secret from you.
I am a former employee of the IRS.
Oh, I can't talk to you anymore.
You know what? But here's the rest of it. I worked for them for one day.
Really? How come? Why?
Well, I took a job with the IRS. It was a seasonal job, and it was in the kind of the winter time, you know, tax-ish season. And mm-hmm. I thought it was perfect for me because I had a young child, and I had a house with a pool, and I had, you know, a lifestyle that would make it nice for me to have a career with an organization like the IRS where I could actually rise within the organization while doing seasonal work. You know, that's pretty unusual to be able to do that sort of thing. So it had enormous appeal for me, and so I went through all the crap that you have to go through to get a job with the federal government and get a job with the federal agency. And so I went to orientation, and I went, I don't think so. I just couldn't do it. And so, you know, it felt really weird to actually quit a job after one day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did that. That's my secret.
Wow.
Now the whole world knows. The whole world knows.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
you
I'm going to spread that around. Well, is it fun?
and one of the things that they told us is, because, see, you know, and this was some years ago, but I would have had a computer in a time when computers were not too common, and I would have had access to tax records of everyone in a region. I was living in Memphis at the time. And, you know, a lot of what we heard on that first day of orientation was threats about, you know, what we could and could not do with the information. And it just felt creepy to me to be sitting there listening to all these threats. You know, I just said, ugh, yuck.
Yeah.
No way. So even, I mean, what else does it say to me that I had no curiosity about looking at other people's tax records? None.
I think it means you're, you know, it could either mean you're just too self-centered, or you're just not nosy. I was going to give you the benefit of the doubt and go for not nosy, but whatever.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I think that being self-centered is like a can opener.
That was
something.
A lovely segue into simile territory.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this. There's one more thing we have to talk about, and we're getting to the end of our time together, but this is something that probably is a secret. I don't think people know about this, and I think it's time for us to confess. There was a show on Fox that came on this fall, a brand new show, and it was supposed to be a really big deal. It was one of those big-time, nighttime soap operas, and it was called Lone Star. But it was only on for two nights because the ratings weren't high enough. And what listeners do not know is that you and I, Shannon, are responsible for that show being dropped.
Yes. That's a sad, sad fact, but we are directly responsible.
You see, listeners, the Fox Network was looking to the two of us to blog about it, and in doing so, it would gain a huge audience that would propel it into a successful, long-running nighttime soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
And Shannon, we dropped the ball.
We did. I even, you know what, I took pictures of all the stuff they sent to bribe mm-hmm. us. And I put the posters on the wall, and I took pictures of those. I was all ready. And a couple of my girlfriends and I were supposed to watch it together so we could have our Lone Star party So I blame them, really, because they dropped the ball and did not watch with me. So really,
oh, really?
It's their fault and not
It's your girlfriend's fault?
Mine. Yes.
Well, see, in my case...
That I didn't blog about it, I mean.
I don't know about you, Shannon, but my... And we got a huge box of goodies, wouldn't you agree? I mean, the box was huge.
Yes.
It was huge.
Yes.
You could bury a scrunched up human or a pig in a box that big.
Right.
You know?
I did, actually. One of those two things.
One of those two.
Uh-huh.
And it was full of stuff. There was stuff in it, right? We got a ton of swag, didn't we?
A lot of stuff.
And we got a DVD of what I think is the first episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was we were supposed to have a party. We didn't have to have a party, but we were supposed to have a party, and we were supposed to tell people about it. We were supposed to tweet about it. We were supposed to blog about it. It came with no obligation. We were supposed to do that if we wanted to, right?
Right.
That's what we were told. And the fact is, I wanted to blog about it. I did. Because I wanted to, but I really didn't get that gigantic box of stuff very early. Did you?
No, I got it 3 days before the actual show.
Yeah. So, you know, the whole idea that you would give a party for your friends and it would be a big deal because they would be seeing the show early, you were going to have to move pretty fast. You really couldn't plan the party in advance because you didn't know when the big, gigantic box full of stuff arrived, right?
Exactly.
But I don't know. I thought the stuff
then
was kind of...
Blame
who? Who do we blame?
Let's blame the poor planning of Fox TV in getting us the swag late.
Well, you know what? Maybe that is it. But the sad thing is I heard that the show is kind of good. I have not watched the DVD because what's the point? What is the point? You know, it's off. It's not going to, you know, I don't want to get started on a soap opera that I never, nothing, whatever, you know, nothing's going to happen. It's all over. But
yeah.
What was your favorite thing in that gigantic box full of swag?
Well, the fact that I got a gigantic box full of swag, obviously, because I love getting free stuff. I don't care what it is. I love getting free stuff to review, even though, yes, I dropped the ball by not blogging about it, which is not my fault. I didn't blog about it because I meant to, but it was those other girls' fault for not watching it with me. But you know what? I have a T-shirt, which I love. I love the wine glasses and the beer glasses, and we use those quite frequently and pretend like, you know, we're fancy or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I teach my daughter how to bartend, you know, because she's 15 and she's going to be needing a career pretty soon. So,
well, there you go. And it did come with a kind of a dangerous looking tool with a corkscrew on it and a little blade on it. Yeah.
I love that. You know what? You can carry that in your purse for personal protection. And handy way to unscrew stuff if you're stuck somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, very good for that. Mine's not in my handbag, but, you know, I thought that was a cool little tool. It does look very dangerous. And I thought that the ice bucket was also very nice, although they're kind of, who needs one? You know, I mean, they're good for icing down champagne, and I think that was the idea, but I thought that was pretty good looking.
In it.
Yeah,
you
know,
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you can do all that. The wine glasses, though, are kind of cheap. Cheapy.
Yeah.
I think
they're
disposable.
Big, so you can put a lot of wine in them, which is the good part of it.
So they survive a dishwasher. They're not just disposable wine glasses. I mean, I'm not too into the plastic wine glasses, I have to tell you. You know, does that make you dislike me? Do I just sound uppity? Plastic wine glasses,
well,
no.
It doesn't make me dislike you any more than I might have already done. But just teasing, sort of.
Yeah, right.
I You know what? I like my wine glasses are all mismatched, and I bought them that way on purpose. So I have like zero bad feelings about using plastic wine glasses. In fact, those are the only matching glasses I have in my whole house. Is the beer mugs and the wine glasses.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that tacky note, I think I'll tell you goodbye.
Okay. Well, goodbye.
You know, yeah, well, I mean, it's just the way. And the thing is, Shannon, I don't blame that show being canceled on your girlfriends. Blame it on me. I mean, I want the credit. I really want the credit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I have zero problem passing the buck. So it's, you know, all I can tell you is if I can get out from under the blame as something being my fault, well, then that's what I'm going to do. I would like to think that I'm important enough to have caused the show to fail, which we all know I am. But, you know, I would rather blame poor planning on Fox for sending it late and you for not doing what you're supposed to do, and those girlfriends of mine who were supposed to watch the show with me and didn't, therefore preventing me from effectively blogging about it in time.
Well, you know, the good news is I still have the cocktail napkins. They weren't really terribly generous with those, but I still have the little cocktail napkins, and I like them. Listen, it's been great. And
yes.
I just have one more thing before I tell you goodbye. John Cleese,
okay.
Shannon. John Cleese.
I'll see what I can do. I'll have my people call.
You know I adore you, but that could change.
I
John Cleese. John Cleese.
Goodbye. Okay. Bye.
You have been listening to Women Are Not Funny Radio, a New Media International production. On behalf of Kay Ballard, her fabulous guest, and the secretly hilarious Women Are Not Funny team, thanks for being here. You can listen to our replays anytime you please, but it's so much more fun when you're here. So join us again live next Friday afternoon for Women Are Not Funny Radio.